be seated. Pastor Brian, if you'll come.
Good morning. Really should stand some Sunday in the back there as all those little guys and girls try to get organized and walk out. It's beautiful to see their love for God and their joy to be together. And also the thing I think for us as we are together this morning to worship the living God. We're continuing today in our study through the book of Acts. This year we're continuing from last year, which was the book of Luke, the same author, but different focus. Last year's focus was the life of Christ, and we learned from our Savior why he came, the things that he did, and prepared his disciples, apostles now, for advancing the kingdom of God. And in this book of Acts, we're seeing how this starts in Jerusalem, waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes, he empowers them, and now they're going out and starting to make good news, proclaiming good news to the people there in Jerusalem. We haven't got outside of Jerusalem yet. Today we're going to be looking at this topic of the Spirit-empowered confidence. We're going to see Peter today talking to the spiritual leaders with confidence that we've never seen in him before. Yes, he's talked to the crowd, he's talked to the people, but today we're actually going to see him talking to the very people who before, when he was in their presence, in their courtyard, when Jesus was being arrested, he denied his Savior. So we have an amazing change again being seen in Peter. It's also going to be visited in each of the apostles. That's where we're going today. I hope you've been paying attention to the worship. I've been putting up at the beginning, bringing the welcome, the idea for the sermon, so you can listen to the songs that we're singing. The songs are picked especially for this passage each week to help us enter into what God is doing, to think about the words that are going to be in this text. And earlier, one of the songs we were singing, lost my son, so I'm going to walk over here and look at the songs here. Your presence is heaven. Your presence is heaven to me. We're singing this to God, right? We're singing about how God's presence is close, intimate with us. Standing in the back singing, had my eyes closed, and I feel arms wrapped around me, and it's my daughter. Put her head against my shoulder, singing along. And that's the picture the song is. God's presence is that. We are wrapping our arms around him. He's wrapping his arms around. This is God's very presence with us, connecting with us. A sweet moment with my daughter reminded me what we're singing about is actually bigger than father and his daughter, actually bigger than a husband and wife. The relationship we have with the living God changes us, makes us, helps us to become what we are. Today in this chapter here, we're going to be seeing how that reshapes who Peter was, who these apostles are, as they share with confidence what God has done and is doing with them. Let's pray. Father God, we again invite you to speak through these words from the Holy Bible, through the words I'm going to be sharing, that we might understand more of who you are, the living God. We come this morning to hear from you and for your Holy Spirit to speak into us. Your Holy Spirit who lives within us as a gift, as a reminder, you, the living God, care for us. Come this morning, Holy Spirit, and fill this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Peter and John were walking to the temple. A man was there who was crippled and wanted some money, begging. We've seen that here in Skopje. He was begging, and Peter says, I've got nothing, but pay attention, look at me. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. He grabbed the guy's hand, pulled him up, and he was jumping and leaping and healed. This guy was over 40 years old. People knew who he was. He'd been there forever. And he came running into the temple, included into God's kingdom, into God's family, into people who were there to worship God. It was a change for that man. But as a result of this, Peter had a chance to speak. People said, what happened? And Peter tells them very clearly, Israelites, even though you crucified Jesus, God raised him from the dead, and there is salvation in his name. Repent of your sins. That was last week's message. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, what happened as a result of that was people came to know Christ, and the rulers of the synagogue in this week's lesson said, hey, stop those guys. They grabbed Peter and John, and they locked them up for the night. So here they just had this amazing day. They were in the temple, they healed this guy, they got to preach the gospel, tell everybody this good news about Jesus, and they end their day locked up in a dark dungeon. Locked away. Now, if you were to sit all night in a prison cell, not that it's a very fun place to be, but how would your attitude be the next morning? Would it be similar to this weather outside here that's got us down and slow and What we're going to see here, they still have the same joy, the same confidence, the same excitement that they had the day before as they were sharing. These people, the rulers of the synagogue, they're mentioned to be in the group of the Sadducees. Now, we've seen these guys, these religious leaders before. They're the ones that don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Can you understand why they're a bit angry now with Peter and John? They're preaching, Jesus has risen from the dead, and you killed him. So here's Peter and John standing up saying, this Jesus who was dead is now alive. This Jesus who you killed is now again living. And these religious leaders' authority is being undercut. They're being pulled down because they're against what they're being what's being spoken. So they lock them up. And then the next morning they bring them out and say, all right, why are you doing this? In whose name are you doing this? They ask. By what power or what name did you do this? Now, if you're still in high school or younger, you probably get this question more often than not when you're in trouble, right? You've been at school and all of a sudden some of the teachers say, okay, now why did you do that? Why did you cause problems in the hallway? Why did you forget your homework? Why did you? And you can fill in the blank of why kids do some of the things they do. We get in trouble as kids. Here, though, they actually are not getting in trouble for some misdemeanor. They're getting in trouble for what their purpose is all about, their purpose of advancing the kingdom. And this is how they respond in Acts chapter 4, in verse 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Wow. Talk about in your face telling these religious leaders the truth. Well, how did this happen? He says, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, this man stands before you. So they have a witness, they have actual physical evidence that something miraculous has happened. They have a man standing here in the same room with them who they've known for 40 years, standing as opposed to laying there begging, standing there. So God has done something. Peter and John said, this is because of Jesus, who you killed and God raised from the dead. Peter says, or it says in the text, that Peter is speaking with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see the Holy Spirit again today in this text. Starts off the chapter, he's at the end of this chapter, and he's filling his apostles with power. But here specifically it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit when they began to speak. This is actually a fulfillment of what Jesus promised them. In Luke chapter 21, he says, now when you go out in my name, when you preach my good news, you're going to be arrested. He said to them, but don't be afraid. When you stand before leaders, when you stand before the judges, I will give you the words to say, and you will speak in my name. And here, the first time they've been arrested, the first time they spent this night in this cold dungeon, the first time they're coming before these rulers and authorities, this is fulfilled. God, through his Holy Spirit, gives them the words to say. So he promised them, he said, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say, and here the Holy Spirit fills them, and they have amazing, powerful words to speak to these religious leaders. God is at work here in this chapter. He's at work in their lives. So the confidence that comes today is that the Holy Spirit is giving them the power to speak. Their confidence today is in the name of Jesus Christ. It says there is salvation in no one else, no other name by which we can be saved. There we go. There's only one more, so I'll play with it. The name of Jesus. The confidence this morning that Peter is speaking with in this text is the name of Jesus. Before, Peter was in the garden there watching Jesus being judged. When he was asked three times, "Are you with him?" he denied it. "No, I don't know this man." But because Jesus rose from the dead, because Jesus came to Peter himself and said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yeah. Take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, love my people." Peter this morning in this text is saying, "Jesus is the one who's doing this. Jesus is the one who gives me the confidence. Jesus is the one who healed this man. And all the people need to hear, Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. There's salvation in no one else." And what's challenging for the rulers that are sitting there listening to them is looking at these people saying, "Who are they?" Okay, maybe they're speaking in Jesus' name, but who are these people? Because it says they're ordinary, uneducated people. Peter, the rest of the apostles here, they're from the background of being fishermen. They're from the background of the provinces. They're not from the city. They've not been through the religious school to know God's word. And yet, Peter is quoting from the Old Testament, explaining it to them, helping them to see Jesus is this cornerstone, the foundation of everything that you've rejected. It's Jesus. They're speaking with confidence and authority, and it comes because they were with Jesus. That's the only explanation. It says they were with Jesus. That's how they knew these 12 people. They knew them because they had been with Jesus. Jesus had been their focus for those 3.5 years, but these people were just with him. And now they realize that because they were with Jesus, they have this confidence, this ability to speak, this ability to open up Scripture and explain it. Their confidence this morning is in the name of Jesus. By the power of Jesus, they did this miracle, and their obedience then is only to Jesus, only to God. The authorities want to silence them, say, "Stop speaking. Don't speak in Jesus' name." And they ask a rhetorical question of them here in these verses. It says, verse 19, "But Peter and John replied, 'What is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard.'" Their obedience is to God. They ask the question, is it right to obey God? And then they ask the second question, is it even possible for us to be silent? So they first look to God. They have a command by authorities, and they say, "You balance it. Do I obey you or God?" Now, this is a good question that goes throughout morals and ethics as we wonder about some laws that are in the land and some laws that aren't. Do we obey them or do we not? Here's the simple standard. Do I obey God or do I obey you? If there's a tension, if there's a difference, their first authority here is God. And then the second question they asked kind of went to themselves. Is it possible for me? These guys are so changed, so excited, so courageous. They said, even if we tried, we couldn't be silent. We have to speak. It's coming from within them, this desire to say, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who came for us. And in that excitement, they're saying, we can't be silent. I'm sorry. It's not even in us. Even if we tried, even if we thought it was the right thing to do, which we know it's not, we can't help it. This is from us. This is who we are. We are followers of Jesus. So this morning, their spirit-empowered confidence comes because of Jesus. His name is the power that helps them do everything, and it's only their obedience to God that allows them to keep this amazing passion for him. This is scene one. This is just kind of setting up the first part. I'll recount last week in scene two. Last week they healed the man. This week they're in prison and they're presenting their case. And then they're dismissed from this and they go into the next scene. And this next section, it's talking about what do they do next, because they've been threatened. They've been threatened and told not to speak. It says, no, we're going to speak. And now they go back and report to everybody else, the believers. And the question is, what do we do now? And this is where you would expect in today's society, if this was us, to say, you know what, let's pray that God protects us. Let's pray that God changes the authorities. Let's pray that God helps us through the situation so we can be ready tomorrow for whatever comes. No. Not how these guys are praying. these women, these men, these believers that are together, they pray based on who God is, that the kingdom advances. They have one focus here today, not themselves, not anything about their own comfort, their own safety. Their focus is the advancing of God's kingdom. Let's look at their prayer. They prayed this way, verse 24. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and why do they plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pilate met together with the Gentiles, the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. In this prayer, they reflect on who God is. They reflect on his sovereignty, the fact that God is ruling over everything. It's under his control. They go way back. They go back to the Israelites and say, God, you were in control then. In fact, you created everything that is. And then it says you prophesied through your servant David. You spoke about what was going to happen. So before it happened, you told David to say this, and it happened. And then you sent Jesus, and we know that Jesus came as your servant, and you knew that he was going to die, and you allowed that to happen. So based on the fact that God, you created everything, you've been in control until now, we have requested you. So they're basing their prayer upon who God is, on the bedrock, the solid foundation that God is in control. Nothing's going to shake God's plans. And they put themselves now into the story with the simple words, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants. So in the scope of everything that you have going on, God, consider these threats. You know they're there, obviously. Give us, your servants, boldness to speak. This, I think that first reference to themselves, your servants, is crucial. Before the disciples were arguing about who is the greatest, who's going to be Lord of this, and who's going to sit at God's right hand, and who's going to have authority, here they put themselves down and say, no, we are simply your servants. No rights, no expectations, nothing that we deserve. We, your servants, only ask that you help us to do what you've asked us to do. We, your servants, ask you to help us to do what you've commissioned us to do. We, your servants, ask you help us do what you want, which is not to protect their lives, which is not to make their day easy, which is not to give them a roof over their heads, not to keep them out of jail, but to speak boldly about what's happened. That's their prayer. Help your servants speak boldly. Help your servants today. Enable them with great boldness to speak your words, and you stretch out your hand and bring healing and bring change. The focus of this prayer, and we'll see it happening again and again in this book of Acts, God, because of who you are, because you are in control, help us to do what you want us to do, because we are servants. The perspective here is all about God and advancing his kingdom. Perspective here is God is doing his work, and we're invited to be a part of it. Their role this morning is servants in the kingdom of God. Now, when we stop and reflect and put ourselves into this story, into our modern life, not many of us are being threatened with jail because we're talking about Jesus. Not many of us are being threatened to lose our livelihood because of the name of Jesus. But we have these decisions in our life daily to speak boldly about him, to speak in moments where it might be awkward, to speak up and say, no, I have a choice to obey God or to obey you. I mean, really, which one should I do? These are the questions that come to us today in our own life. So we put ourselves back into this story and say, all right, Jesus, because of your death and resurrection, because of your claim on my life, because I am your servant, what's next? because of who you are, God, because of your ruling and reigning over the world, over my life, help me to do what you have me to do. Help me to do your tasks. This book here of Acts is the start of the church. It's the start of what God began to do through his people as his kingdom advanced person after person till we are here today 2,000 years later. So God's Spirit is still at work in us today, advancing his kingdom, changing our lives, building what he wants built. And our job as his servants is to pray like this. God, based on who you are, advance your kingdom through me. If you reflect on your prayers from this last week, besides the meal with your family, thank you, Lord, for providing us food. What are your prayers consisting of? Are you reflecting on the character of God? God, because I've seen you in Scripture like this way, because I know you are the Creator, and God, because when I was 16, I actually knew what you wanted me to do, and because when I was 21, I made this step of faith, and you provided for me. Today I can ask God for this next thing. What is it? Is this the shape of our lives? Is this the shape of our prayers? I look at myself and I get challenged with this because I simply pray for the mundane too often. God, help me through this day, or give me wisdom as I travel, or God, watch over my family. These are the things we like to just routinely pray for, and they're not bad. But something bigger than that is being presented today. Prayer this morning is, God, advance your kingdom through me, your servant. God, advance your working in the world around me through me, your the one you have. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm here and I'm ready. God, advance your kingdom through me today. I think if we put it in the context of the threat that's over them, and this threat's going to grow. Today is the first chance we've seen of there's opposition to this message in Acts, and it's going to grow. Some of the apostles are going to die, they're going to be put in prison, they're going to be released, they're going to scatter. Lots is going to happen coming up. This is the first time this persecution hits them, but they're aware of what's coming on. All they pray for, boldness and courage. Boldness to speak, courage to go forward. So in this context, we look at our own lives and we say, I like to hold on to my family. I want to protect them, but I can't. I want to provide for them, and sometimes I have a hard time doing that. Family is far away in another country, and I don't have any control over them. All these things we let go as servants of the living God and say, God, we can trust you with family. We can trust you with circumstances. We can trust you with what's going on around us. And I am your servant. Use me. This week you're going to have a chance in your small groups to read through this chapter again and to ask questions of each other. What does it look like for me to be a servant of the living God? What does it look like for me? Let go of things that I can hang on to and think they're mine and say, no, I'm a servant. What is it that I need to let go of? We're also going to ask questions this week in these chapters about how we can see the sovereignty of God played out in our lives. You're thinking of a story in your own life. Where has God supplied all that you need? And you can say with confidence, God has cared for me. Because those stories are what encourage each other. And those stories are what allows the world to say, hey, yeah, this guy has something different that I don't have. This woman has a story that shows something's there that I don't understand. What is that? Our lives are lived for the advancing of the kingdom. All that we are, all that we have. The answer to this prayer at the end of the chapter is amazing. The answer to this prayer Acts chapter 4. After they had prayed, it says in verse 31, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. There was immediate answer to their prayer. They asked for boldness, and they were filled with the Spirit and given boldness to keep going. God answered their prayer. Shook the place. It's a sign sent, helping them physically understand, yes, God's hearing you. It'd be nice if God shook this place every now and then, although I think some of the architects and the structural engineers would have a problem with that. It's an earthquake. We gotta recheck the whole building now. But in this here, it's God saying, I am with you. Pay attention. Yes, I'm hearing you. On the right track. Keep going. And they ask that God go before them and give them this boldness. And he gave it to them. So my prayer this morning is for us, that God would give us the same boldness and courage to speak about what he's doing in our lives, that we would go from here encouraged and able to speak the truth. God is alive and at work in our lives today. Let's pray. Father God, we come away from these words and your holy word, your scriptures, asking the same thing. That you, the sovereign God, the ruler of all things, the one who created the earth and all that is in it, you who brought us to this point in our life today to hear these words, you, the living God, take our lives and allow us to serve your kingdom. Give us the same boldness that these early believers had, this boldness to speak truth into the moment, to be willing to obey God when the pressures of humanity are strong, a willingness to follow after you when even their very lives were at stake. So this morning, fill us with this boldness, encourage us, and may this place in our hearts and our lives be filled with your Spirit. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. When Peter spoke, he said, Christ was the stone.